We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, and the station where the Refresh radio program goes throughout Brevard County. So we want to thank you for tuning in today. You might be listening at 10:30 on WWBC. You might be listening on the way home. A number of our people listen to the program on the way home from work instead of on the way. Some of them go in early. Some of them live out of the area and drive or work out of the area and drive. So however you're listening, whatever time you're listening, we are thankful that you have made this a part of your day. We are reminding people this week about the spring fundraiser, the offering here on WMIE. And if God has laid that upon your heart to be a blessing to the radio station, to help them with the day-to-day operating expenses and repairs and maintenance on the building and all of that sort of stuff, 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. And you can tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So, take note of that, and if God lays it upon your heart, we would be so thankful if you would let them know that you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. And you know, it'd be like the cherry on top of the whipped cream on top of the cake if people listening during the time of the Refresh radio program, that was what put them over the top of what their goal is. So that's neither here nor there, really, but we like for our listeners to be participating in the radio station as well. I want to take you today to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're talking about sowing and reaping. This started in Galatians chapter 6 about not sowing to the flesh while do sowing to the Spirit. You get two different harvests there. And so you and I, we want the right type of harvest. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6, says this: "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, for he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." That's Psalm 112, verse number 9. "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God." In the NIV, where it says, "But this I say," the NIV says, "Remember this." And I like to pay special attention where Jesus would say, "Verily, verily," or if the scripture says, "Remember this, this do in remembrance of me," those sorts of things where God is saying, "Now pay attention, this is really important. You cannot forget this. This rises to a, are you listening to me?" Every once in a while, my wife and I will be having a conversation and she will say something like this: You're not looking at me. I need you to focus on what I'm telling you right now." And so at that point in time, it is fixate on what she is saying. That's what I see when I see this word that's described here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. Pay attention. I think that since it's a letter to the church, that the church ought to pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what he says is this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So there are a number of people who, how do I want to say this? They want to approach giving from a non-legalistic standpoint. Okay, I'm going to put it to you that way. They don't want it to be formulaic. They don't want it to be mandatory or anything like that. I just want to let you know this. In the New Testament, it says there is a correlation between the seeds that you sow and the harvest that you reap. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. I know a lot of people who like to sow sparingly and reap bountifully, but that's not the way that it works. On the same hand, I want to encourage you that you do not sow bountifully to reap sparingly. Okay? That's not the way that God is wanting this to operate. He says what he wants for us to do right here. Now, remember, it's the right seed in the right soil at the right time, for the right reason, to get the right type of harvest. So remember that. So he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What it does not say is, unless you're in America, unless it's 2018, unless you're popular, unless you're very wealthy, it doesn't say that there's any stipulations. There's no exclusions there. There's no caveats that are going to give you a special exemption. In all honesty, I get a little nervous around people who go and say things like, well, God and I have this special understanding. And let me tell you how my mind interprets that. My mind interprets that, okay, this person is deceived. That's just the way that my mind works. Because God doesn't operate in his word with special caveats or special carve-outs for anybody. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves us and he treats us in righteousness. So, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So here we see that giving is not necessarily a financial transaction. Giving is something that is a manifestation of what is going on inside of our heart. Sowing is not going to be something that it takes place accidentally. Sowing is meant to be something that is done intentionally with purpose. Around our house, there are several plants that have grown. They have grown because the seeds were accidentally transported from where a plant used to exist, and somehow they ended up in my yard, and it wasn't done with purpose. Things that are not done with purpose, I call those weeds. They need to be taken out. They need to be uprooted, and please don't ever come back and grow again. What would be the desire of my heart, but they keep coming back. Birds come and they pick up the seeds and transport them from other neighbors' yards and bring them over. You don't want to do things without intention. God wants you and I to have a heart that is invested in this sowing. That Paul goes on to write, that talks about that their action is not only meeting the needs of the saints, but it is abounding also. It's not just for Paul's ministry. It meets the needs of the saints, and it abounds to the glory of God, causes people to give thanks to God. wouldn't you like to do something that benefited a whole array of people? Wouldn't you like to do something that would cause people to give thanks to God? I remember when I was a kid, what great joy it brought to us on Christmas morning when there was just an over-the-top gift that was just like, what? Are you kidding me? This is amazing. We got a pinball machine 1 year. It was absolutely phenomenal. But then when I grew up and you give and you watch the kids as they receive, then all of a sudden you realize what Jesus was talking about. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It brings you great satisfaction. And so the giving is something that begins as a heart issue. It's intentional. And each one of us gives not because someone else, listen, if you are just sowing and reaping, if you're just giving because I'm telling you to here on the radio, you're missing it. It's got to be done in faith. It's got to be birthed in your heart, in your spirit, and say, God, this is what is going to take place because I believe this is the will of God. Okay? Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver or a liberal giver or a hilarious giver. God is a giver. And so whenever we get to that place where we are in the giving mindset, the sowing mindset of being a blessing to others, we are manifesting a key portion of the nature of God, giving. Okay? What I tell parents is you never have to teach a child to say mine. They pick it up. You don't have to teach a child to say no. They pick it up. You don't ever have to teach a child to be selfish. What you do is you have to train the child to serve. You have to train the child to share. You have to train the child to love. You have to train the child to give. And that's the same with spiritual children. We come from a very self-absorbed perspective. And when we become Christians, we realize that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So it doesn't do you any good if you are sowing your seed and you are angry and writing the check and ripping it out of there. I remember seeing something, and I thought it was kind of, you know, different, about people sowed seeds, and the only difference, they sowed it in the same type of soil, but they put these plants in different rooms where they changed the atmosphere. One of it was a very jubilant and pleasant atmosphere. Another was a very loud, very angry. And the seed that was planted in the pleasant and the cheerful and in the calm, peaceful room atmosphere, environment, whatever word you want to put in there, it thrived. The one that was done where there was nothing but hostility and anger and all of that sort of stuff, it didn't thrive. And so I want to encourage you, make sure that you get your heart right. God, listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I give all that I have away, but I don't have love, it is nothing. It's nothing. Don't invalidate your seed because you've got the wrong attitude. Okay? And listen to this, verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. People who are afraid do not sow. There are a few times when I have been the pastor, and I'm telling you, we've lived by faith. We're thankful for where God, all the things that God has done for us. But I'm not saying that there's not times where we haven't lived in faith. What I'm saying is that there have been a few occasions where all of a sudden there was a dispensation of faith that arose inside of us that said, you know what, that's not natural. That's not coming from me. And I remember when the news several years ago about the space center and the space program being going to be shut down, and the thousands of jobs that went away, that it was during one of our business meetings, and the spirit of faith just arose inside of me and said, this is not the time to withdraw. It is not the time to be afraid. This is the time to go forth in faith. This is the time to go and pursue the will of God. This is time to put the pedal to the floor, and it's full steam ahead. There was nothing in the natural that looked like it was the time to do that. But during that season, it launched us into years of increase now, where we're able to do so much more ministry because we didn't cower away in fear. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 9:8 and focus on these words: and God is able. And God is able. Whatever the expense of the seed, God is able to overcome that. I don't care how much the seed is, God is able. I don't know how big the need is, God is able. Never forget the size of your God. In the Old Testament, when they came out of Egypt, there were several key people who it says in, I believe it's in Exodus, that they were invited up onto the mountain with Moses and Joshua and to experience the presence of God. And it said they saw him, they ate, and they drank, and they had fellowship on the mountain with God. Nadab and Abihu were two of those people, and they came down and presumed upon themselves to offer unauthorized fire. Aaron was part of that group, and he came down and made a golden calf and presented it to the children of Israel and said, you know, behold your God. Some of the elders of Israel came down. They went in, and when they were faced with the enemy on the other side of the promised land, they saw them as giants and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They forgot to take into account the size of their God. I want you to know today that God is able. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that is too hard for God. Whatever the need might be, God is able. I don't give to get. I give because I want to sow. I want to see the kingdom of God grow. And so, if God lays the spring offering on your heart, and it's purposed in your heart that you're going to give cheerfully and jubilantly, that you're going to give in faith, I want you to know God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Do you look at that? Do you see what it says? God is able to make all grace abound to you. And remember, grace is God giving to us those things that we do not deserve. God's going to make all grace. Grace is God empowering you beyond your natural resources, enabling you to do things that you could not do in your own nature. And it says here that remembering this, the sowing sparingly, sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully, it sets you up for this revelation that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency and all things may have an abundance for every good work. I believe that God wants us to be ministering out of our overflow, out of our abundance. Wouldn't it be great if the word of God that was filling us up just came out of our mouth? Wouldn't it be great if the provision of God was so much that said, you know what, we can meet that need? Wouldn't it be awesome if instead of viewing ourselves as victims, we looked at ourselves as equipped and empowered by God to do whatever is necessary to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't want to be that type of person that says, no, we can't afford to do this. No, we can't afford to do that. No, we can't afford to do this over here. You know what? I remember this. When my wife and I first got married, and this was in the mid-80s, this is when the economy was booming in many places across the country. And our total income the first year, I think, was $9,000 combined. The next year it was like $13,000. We got up to $19,000, I think, a year, and then we transferred to Texas. It might have been 13. No, it was 9. Then it was 19, and then we moved to Texas, and that year it dropped to 13, and we added a child. The economy was booming, and my dad, you know, he said, you know, if you wait till you can afford kids, you're never going to have kids. There are some people who are waiting and waiting and waiting for things, looking for the more ideal circumstance. And I just want to tell you today, God is able. God is able to meet you financially. He is able to meet you physically. I want to declare to you today that God is able. Listen to what he wants to do. He wants to make all grace abound to you. We've talked about that. He wants you to have all sufficiency in all things. Have everything that you need in every area of your life, that you may have an abundance for every good work. I've been in the place where the need seemed greater than the provision. I can still remember the mindset that I was slapped in the face with when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, with how much money we were going to need and having six people plus my family in the congregation. How in the world are we ever going to see that? And I can tell you that the conclusion that I came to then was God is able. And the conclusion I have now is God is still able. He's able for us. He's able for you. He wants you and I to have an abundance for every good work. For every good work. Verse number 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. On yesterday's program, I told you there's a link between sowing and righteousness and then peace. There's that link. You see it here again in this place as well. And God is able, verse number 8, verse number 10, now may he, capital H-E, God, who supplies seed to the sower. Okay? I want you to realize that there is seed that he provides, and he supplies bread for food. He supplies both the future seed, and he supplies that which is going to meet your daily need right now. May he supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Do you see that? supply and multiply the seed you have sown. That is past tense. If you don't sow, if I don't sow, if Merit Assembly of God doesn't sow, then there's not going to be anything to supply and multiply. God supplies it the first time, and then we have the responsibility to sow it. And God will take that, and he will supply it. He will multiply it over and over, and he will increase the fruits of our righteousness. He says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. What a phenomenal concept. Remember this. He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps sparingly. But you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. That means that God enriches us so that we can be generous when it comes to sowing. And the result of it is that God is going to meet needs and God is going to receive the thanksgiving. We don't do it for accolades the way that the world does it. The world wants to take its fingers and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. And we give so that people, when they find that God loves them so much that he's moved on someone else's heart to give and to sow generously, that they throw up their hands and they say, thank you, God. Now, Paul knew what the Corinthians were doing. He knew that they were going to be giving. He knew that the body of Christ was going to be blessed. But the body at large may not have had any awareness of who it was that was responding to God's invitation, who it was that God had planted a desire in their heart. And they said, you know what? We're going to be intentional. We're going to sow intentionally. We're going to see someone's need get met. Paul's going to have his needs met. He's going to touch somebody else. And the result is God is going to be praised. I believe that God is very pleased with an open hand when it comes to giving instead of a closed fist. Today, if you would like to sow into WMIE, this has been planned for a long time. It just happens to coincide with their offering. But if you would like to sow into them, 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000, tell them you heard about them on Refresh, and we'll see you next time here on WMIE.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.